In America, you have a right to be stupid.
I mean, I do think at a certain point you've made enough money.
$100 billion, $1 trillion.
Come on!
If you got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560, hour number three, myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, our engineer, and John Zmerich joining us now, stream.org. John, how are you, sir?
I'm good, thanks. How you doing?
We are doing very well today. So, what is going on new at the stream?
Well, let's see. I hope you're reasonably interested. I did a three-part... No, you know what? I've got a new one I'd like to tell you about.
Okay.
It's called the Biggest Christian Thinker You Never Heard About, Marcion.
Okay.
His heresy is coming to your church soon. This is there was a fellow in the second century around 170 AD who joined the Christian church, and he brought with him a ton of money. He had a huge personal fortune, and he wanted to be a bishop. When that was rejected, he founded his own church. He had what he thought was a great solution to the problems that Christians were facing in the second century, or some of the problems anyway. It's sometimes hard to see how to reconcile the New Testament and the Old Testament. And the image of God presented in the New Testament and the Old Testament, they kind of complement each other,
mm-hmm.
and you have to look at them as a complex whole. But some people don't want to do that. They want to throw out the God of the Old Testament and pretend that Jesus was totally different from the Father, from Yahweh, who spoke in the Old Testament.
Hmm.
And this was Marcion's idea.
Okay.
Marcion said that the God of the Old Testament was not Jesus' Father. He was a lesser God. He was some angel spirit or something who only cared about the Jews and was into revenge and violence and national borders and sexual prohibition, all the things actually that liberal Christians don't want right now. So right now we're seeing liberal Christians, progressive Christians, such as this guy, his name is Brandon Robertson. He claims that none of the sexual prohibitions in the Old Testament, like adultery or homosexuality or, you know, anything, they're all off the table because it wasn't the same God. In fact, he says that the God of the Old Testament was wrong to tell Adam and Eve not to eat the fruit of the tree of good and evil, and Satan was right to tell them to do it.
John, what does he base this on?
Well, the ultimate religious authority, both for Marcion, the first, second century heretic, and for Brandon Robertson, their own sense of what a good God would do, in my opinion, as formed by the culture around me. And
really?
That replaces the Bible and replaces any church authority. What you think you would do if you were God becomes the litmus test for everything. And that's where we're seeing the churches falling apart. The churches are falling apart because people are learning that their internal sense of what's good and bad, as formed by Twitter and Facebook and Google, and frankly the Chinese Communist Party, that is the highest criterion. So you can read the Bible selectively and sniff out the verses you don't like. You can even put yourself up as higher than Jesus. Brandon Robertson did that. He actually said Jesus committed sins of racism and had to repent from them.
Well, you know, it's interesting. First of all, while erasing the Old Testament, they are committing the original sin. You shall be like God. You shall be as
right.
God. They're putting themselves on his throne and deciding what they like and don't like in the Old Testament. Secondly,
that's right.
They seem to forget this guy in the New Testament. His name was Jesus, wasn't it, John? Jesus. And didn't he keep saying these words, as it is written? John, what was he referring to when he said, as it is written? I thought it was the Old Testament.
That is a very good point. And do you know how Marcion solved that? He edited the New Testament, too.
He
only accepted the Gospel of Luke, and he snicked out some verses from it, and he only accepted 10 of St. Paul's letters, the ones he agreed with.
Basically, did he keep a lot of pictures, none of the words?
He had the children's Bible.
This sect, the Marcionites, was extremely popular. And it spread like wildfire, and the church really had to fight it. The way liberal, progressive Christianity is spreading now. Back then, Marcionism was developed to appeal to Romans and Greeks who didn't really like Jews, didn't really find the Old Testament very inspiring. Fine, we don't need him. We can give you a fresh, new, revised Christianity, and maybe you won't want to persecute it. That is exactly what the progressive Christians are doing now. Mm. And they're not just cutting out the Old Testament. They're putting themselves above the New Testament, showing themselves willing to judge Jesus Christ himself based on what their conscience tells them, as if their conscience was informed by the networks and by the internet and by all the porn they've been watching and by all the propaganda they were taught in school. No, no, no. They know better than Jesus and the God of the Old Testament and the church over 2,000 years. Welcome to progressive Christianity.
Well, yeah.
Any church that has a rainbow flag. Any church that has a rainbow flag.
Yeah, you're in trouble. That's a fact.
John, if you pick and choose what you like about what you worship, aren't you only worshiping you?
Yes.
That's right. That's right. I mean, yes. I might say, hey, I'll get into that. I'll just pick the verses in the Old Testament about slaughtering your enemies and cleansing your country of them. Hey, here we go. I have a Viking religion now.
John, it's always a joy talking to you. Keep up the great work. You're a solid guy. We appreciate it very much, sir.
Thank you.
That wholeheartedly.
God bless. Have a great day.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
I do appreciate it very much. And didn't we have a little bit of that earlier in the last hour?
Yeah, a smidge.
You just kind of pick out what you want to use to your own benefit?
Just a smidge. Just a little.
I'm not picking on anybody, but...
Yeah, you are.
Just saying. All right. Flesh and Mech is up next. Now, what I will say is you can't just pick and choose the law you want. The law is the law, right, Andy?
That it is.
And if you don't know the law, you better find somebody that does or you're going to be in trouble.
That you should.
So there you go. I mean that seriously, folks. Get Kevin on your side. He understands the law. He knows what can and can't be done. You know, he also understands insurance companies and, you know, what it'll take to get them to pay. And sometimes that means dragging their rear end to court. And that's what he does. He's not afraid to do that. So call him today, 303-806-8886, or find him at fleshlawfirm.com. And that's spelled FLESCH.
Avoid the pitfalls with Kevin Flesh. Picture this. You're in court before a judge and jury trying to get the at-fault party's insurance company to cover your hospital bills, and the defense attorney pulls out your medical records. Comparing what you said to the police at the scene of your injury to what your doctor transcribed, you've contradicted yourself. You start to get nervous. You don't want to look like an idiot, but you simply don't recall what you said to the police. That was a long time ago. KLC's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law, prepares you for these kinds of questions so you never need to worry about what to say. Of course, the opposition will always try to call your credibility into question. But with Kevin Flesh, you always know exactly how to respond. Schedule a free consultation now at 303-806-8886. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Trial tested. Trial ready.
All right, a good shot. We just talked about accidents a moment ago. If that's you and you've been involved in one, or you just want to get the vehicle freshened up and get it looking good, and maybe you're going to flip it, sell it, whatever it is, a good shop can make that vehicle look great and do it back to original equipment specifications because they've got all the right equipment, training tools, you name it, they're there. And they work directly with the insurance companies as well. I need to make sure I mention that all the time. Find them at klzradio.com or call 720-541-7697.
You've already been through a collision. Now give yourself the gift of a gorgeous vehicle inside and out. Al Sturm and his team at A Good Shop Auto Body continue to earn OE certifications for name brands like Subaru, Ford, and many others so they can get your vehicle back to pre-loss condition with the parts and service recommended by your manufacturer. Now A Good Shop offers full detailing as an add-on service so your vehicle feels like new. Click on the free virtual estimate button now at klzradio.com/collision and ask for a full detailing service, including carpet shampooing for the entire interior or trunk, or upgrade to include a ceramic coating that will keep your paint in shiny new condition. Al and his team want to give every customer the wow factor of a vehicle that feels like new. Mention KLZ in your virtual estimate request for $100 off your repairs. A good shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate. Phil Kirpin joining us now. Phil, welcome. How are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. President of American Commitment. Explain to us what that is first, sir.
We are a national free market advocacy group. We usually work on things like taxes and spending and healthcare and energy, trying to help people be equipped with information so they can be more active citizens and tip some of these policy fights in a more free market direction. But for the last year or so, we've mostly just been fighting lockdowns.
Yeah, you and I alike.
The government locks you and closes you down. None of those other issues matter all that much. So
exactly.
We've been diverted into that.
Hey, Phil, before you even get into all the numbers and proofs and all this, because I know you will, the recent evidence of various states, the heavy lockdown states, are the ones that are now having soaring numbers, and the low lockdown states are having crashing numbers. And all along, you were seeing the numbers between heavy lockdown, low lockdown were pretty much even. Here's what I'm getting to. Is it starting to look just awfully good for your point of view? I mean, is anyone coming to you and saying, sorry, you were right?
It's been 7 months since Florida lifted all statewide restrictions. Seven months. And they're like in the bottom half of states in overall COVID deaths per capita. I think they're like number 28 or 29. And California is only a notch or two better. And there's a much, much younger population, and they've been in perpetual lockdown. So I think it's becoming very hard to still believe in lockdowns at this point. And given the costs and the economic costs, the educational costs, the social, the emotional, there's everything associated with lockdowns has been so obviously costly and damaging and harmful that unless, a tie shouldn't be okay for the lockdown side. You know what I mean?
Right.
They should be able to show a huge, huge impact in terms of the virus if we're going to take all of these costs on. And instead, it looks like there's been none. It looks like, we added all of these additional harms on top of the virus, and we got the virus anyway in those places. And we just had both.
Yeah. No, preaching to the choir. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. We've been doing the same thing you've been doing literally for the last, let's face it, Phil, we had a couple of weeks where we're trying to, really determine what's going on here. Let's make sure everybody's careful. And once we kind of determine that, wait a minute, so far the numbers aren't supporting what we're doing. I've been on air every day since. I've not changed my lifestyle one iota since COVID started. I've traveled. I've done pretty much everything I would have done prior.
You have the essential worker certificate.
Yes.
If you're a broadcaster. Not
yes.
All of us have that.
Very well said. No, you're right. And I have been very lucky as far as that goes, because I've been able to still move around, do whatever I need to do, and so on. And I keep saying, Phil, that the data, and I've been saying this now for literally a year now, since the beginning of last April, the data does not support the death rate among the low-risk individuals and so on. And yes, we know that this has been hard on higher-risk individuals, like any other type of virus would be, Phil, by the way. So it's not just COVID that you have to worry about. There's all sorts of things when you get into the high-risk area you have to worry about. The reality, though, Phil, and you know this as well as I, the data doesn't support what we've done. In fact, it's the opposite.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that, especially what we've done to children for whom this is lower risk than influenza. Yeah,
almost no risk.
It's substantially lower risk than influenza under age 20, near zero, as you said. And yet, children have paid some of the largest price in terms of lockdown.
Yes.
Some of them have been denied a whole year of education and social, emotional growth, interaction with their peers, sports, everything. They're in a big hole. And, we're going to try to dig them all out, and a lot of them, some of them won't ever really get out of that hole is one of the tragedies.
Unfortunately.
Even the ones who did still had that year.
Right.
When you're years old, a year is like, you know, almost your whole life.
It's eternity.
At least, yeah. Mentally and emotionally. Yeah. I mean, it's not the same as it's been for adults. And so we did that to them when they were at essentially zero risk. You know, driving to school is more dangerous for a kid
yes.
than COVID.
Yeah. I said it this way, Phil. They got a higher risk of dying on the school bus than they do of COVID.
Yeah. And that's not an exaggeration. That's a fact.
That's a fact.
Proven fact.
That's right.
And so, you know, so we've done what we did to children. It's been a total disaster. Then you get up to sort of the 20 to 50 bracket, and it's sort of comparable to flu. And you sort of say, well, why couldn't you go to work? And if you're sick, stay home, the same way we normally treat it. It would have made a lot more sense in that age bracket. And then sort of 50 to 70, it's a little bit worse than flu. 70 plus, it's much worse than flu. And that's where you get, you know, the really, really heavy deaths and mm-hmm. all the other associated, you know, it's basically 70 plus and people who have, you know, specific known, medical conditions that make them high risk. And we could have focused on protecting those people, making sure they were taken care of monetarily, would have cost a fraction of what we ended up doing.
Yep.
And we could have had a functioning society for everyone else and, you know, help those.
And we've still been on top of the world, economically speaking.
Yeah.
Hey, Phil.
It was a horrendous response. And by the way, it was much worse for the older people who are at risk than what we ended up doing, because by not offering them focused protection, we ended up exposing a lot more of them than we otherwise would have. With
yes.
the strategy of dragging it all out through these lockdowns and everything else.
Hey, Phil, after seeing the failure of the lockdowns and all the heavy restrictions and all of what we have done, what does it do for you to see majorities of Americans insist they still want to wear masks?
I was going to ask the same thing.
Even
Thank
when...
You.
This is gone. Even when this is over, the threat is gone, they still want to wear masks. It's like they are accepting some kind of limited form of locking themselves down. What does that do for you, having seen all the evidence?
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting. When the masks first came out, I was wrong about this. When the masks first came out, I said, okay, this is good because the people who are at home scared are going to be willing to go back outside and it's going to get us closer to normal. And I was wrong. My wife said I was wrong, and she was right. I was wrong. It's actually been one of the worst things
yep.
because how do you ever get to normal when people wearing these masks all the time acting
yep.
scared? You know, how can people feel normal when they see masks everywhere they go?
They
so
can't.
I was wrong about that. And in terms of the virus impact with masks, there's none. You can't detect it. It's
nope.
You look at places that mask and don't mask. In similar geographies, you get the exact same outcomes. It's just there's no detectable positive effect of any kind. And, you know, there are going to be major negative effects, psychological in particular, and the ability for a lot of younger people to develop normal language skills, normal emotional connections. For people who are a little bit older, we can sort of work our way around it, even though it's weird. We've had enough human interactions in our lifetime that we can sort of figure our way through. But for young people, it's extremely disruptive. And, you know, those are the ones who are at no risk and rarely get it and rarely transmit it. And we're like masking them all day in school, masking them on the playground, masking them in sports.
Or throwing them off an airplane if a 2-year-old won't wear one, which, by the way, Phil, I don't know how many of you can even get a 2-year-old to do that.
Completely insane. I mean, my youngest is 5, and, you know, I
can't. Good luck on that one, even.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Phil, is this not literally the definition of insanity where we've got companies, literally airlines, kicking people off of airplanes because their 2-year-old will not keep their mask on?
Well, the Biden people really tightened up the airline thing. You know, I've only flown a couple of times in the past year, but, you know, one of them was under Trump, and it was, you know, it was pretty normal. They said to mask. You know, it wasn't like it. Now when you fly, you got to sign this, you got to click this disclosure that's required
yep.
by the FAA that says you will mask between sips and bites and all this crazy
all
stuff.
All the nonsense.
And by the way, airplanes they turn over the whole airplane, all of the air, through a HEPA filter like every 5 minutes on an airplane. They
right.
have extremely high levels of filtration and extremely high air quality because, you know, what airline wants people to get sick on an airline? That's not a new thing for them.
And real quick, by the way, too, Phil, along those lines, you know as well as I and Andy that if there had been some big, huge COVID outbreaks because of people flying on airplanes, you've heard about it by now, there have been none.
None. Well, because, you know, you breathe out, and the right above your head sucks it in, and then you get fresh air. You know, it's like an extreme filtration environment. You know, they keep saying, oh, better ventilation, better filtration. Airplanes are like the ultimate for that.
But we've got people here in Colorado where you go outside, which, by the way, that's about as good as it gets as far as I'm concerned, especially when a
outdoor
little light breeze is going on, and yet we've still got people
yeah.
here wearing masks outside.
outdoor transmission almost does not exist.
Yep.
It's been very, very few documented cases. And basically, there was one outdoor event that seemed like it had a lot of spread. It was a soccer event in Europe, and I was trying to figure out what made this different than, like, everywhere else. So I looked at video of it, and it was like they were all, like, hugging and kissing and hanging all over.
There you go.
I'm like, you know, that's not that.
That's not an outdoor event.
Well, Europeans are weird, so let's just accept that right now, Phil. Europeans are weird.
The whole town from Italy had gone to the soccer game together, and it was like the biggest game in 50 years or something.
That makes more sense.
Hey, Phil, really quick here. I want to talk about another aspect of lockdown fallout, and that is, are we making Americans just meaner? And I call it Karenoid.
Yes.
Okay, Karen, paranoid.
Yes.
I call it Karenoid, especially young people. I have seen so many people snapping at other people about, you're not far enough away, you're not wearing your mask right, you're not doing this, you're not doing that. You actually want to get rid of masks now. Are we making America meaner?
Andy, you don't care about people.
Yeah, I know. Jeez.
That's what you hear. You want to get rid of the mask, Andy. You don't care about people.
Have we made a nation Karenoid, is what I'm asking.
Yes, is the one-word answer. And, you know, we've created extreme social pathology with this whole approach.
Yes, we have.
And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, you consistent in every single poll about this, the people who are most afraid and are most unwilling to engage in society still are the young adults. It's the 20-somethings who are at no risk.
Yes.
And so we've done an astonishingly poor job of communicating risk. Yep. And, you know, risk assessment is that it's hard to understand risk. I mean, that's not an easy thing, but I feel like, you know, our media and our government hasn't even tried. They've tried to do the opposite. They've tried to scare people who are even if they're at very low risk. And now we're looking at the consequence of that. I can't tell you how many of these young adults I see, you know, write things on social media like, you know, I got the vaccine, but I'm still never leaving my house.
Right.
It's like, you know, okay.
It's insanity. Dumb. Phil, how do people find you guys and what you got going on there?
Let me give you a few things. AmericanCommitment.org is the organization website where we do, you know, the policy advocacy and that kind of stuff. I also work with a second group with Steve Moore and John Fund that we do a free daily newsletter that covers a lot of COVID stuff and economic stuff and energy stuff. If people want that, it's free, committee2unleashprosperity.com. And then the third one I'll give you is my Twitter, because I'm an addict. I'm on there all the time. It's my last name, Kerpen, K-E-R-P-E-N.
So just at Kerpen. Perfect. We'll put this up on Facebook as well. Phil, thanks. I appreciate it, sir, very much.
All right. Have a good one,
Keep up the great work. We appreciate it. Guys, we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. And we'll talk more about this. Affordable Interest Mortgage is next. Kurt Rogers, if you're interested, again, in any of the products Kurt has, just give him a call, 720-895-0500, 720-895-0500.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where a reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
All right, Dave Hart Roof Masks is next, folks. And I had my roof done, as you all know. I talked about it yesterday. And, man, what a difference. And my roof is about 12 years of age, 11 to 12 years of age. And I, you know, person that did my house before I bought it, did a really nice roof and thick shingles and all that, did an upgrade. But even with that, 10 years in, you could start seeing cracks in the shingles on the south side where it gets the majority of the heat, the sun, and so on. And I tell you what, the guys, Dave and the guys did a great job. They got things all freshened up. It looks fabulous. and I am confident I can get another 5, 6, 7 years out of the roof, and then I'll have him back and do it again. So my overall goal is to get another 20 years out of this thing, giving me the full 30 years of life that the roof ought to have in the first place.
Boy, that saves a lot of money versus
Tons.
Replacement.
Yeah, and besides the fact, I don't want it replaced. I don't want to go through that hassle. I just want to keep
That's
going.
That's true. It is awful having your roof replaced.
Yes, I don't want that. And by the way, there's no guarantees on this, but common sense would tell you when my shingle is now more flexible, which it is because of the product that Dave put on, he rejuvenates the shingle.
Right.
If and when we get a hailstorm, it's more of when, not if, think of a shingle being more like a trampoline versus a piece of glass.
Right.
That's what his product is doing. It's giving it more cushion. It's giving it the ability to absorb that hail and not tear up your roof like you normally would.
Yeah. Think of a dry, brittle leaf versus a wet, supple leaf.
So if you want your roof in great shape and you want to avoid some of those things when hail season comes around, call Dave today. 303-710-6916.
Dave Hart with Roof Max in South Aurora started out as a traditional roofer, repairing and replacing asphalt roofs. But he got so tired of the unnecessary waste. The quality of asphalt shingles has declined in recent years, leading to less and less durable roofs, especially in Colorado, where high altitudes expose your roof to stronger UV rays that damage your shingles, combined with severe spring and summertime storms and more than twice the national average snowfall, you could end up replacing your roof every few years, paying higher and higher insurance costs. Roof rejuvenation from RoofMax offers an alternative to total roof replacement. Just one application of the all-natural bio oil immediately adds 5 years to your roof guaranteed. Because Dave has a background in roofing, he can provide any patches or small repairs your roof may need before applying roof rejuvenation. Call Dave Hart with RoofMax in South Aurora now at 303-710-6916. That's 303-710-6916.
This happens to me far more than I think it should. Hi, this is Richard Beatty, KLZ 560. I will find a word that applies and form an acrostic that becomes a teachable moment. Today's word, boys and girls, is track. Think of it. I invest in Fitbit to track my steps, calories burned, duration, and miles. I track my money and investments, and I track my projects and my progress. I track my thoughts, responsibilities, and my actions, my creative ideas, and my knowledge. T-R-A-C-K. Integrity is the connective tissue between who I am at home, through my work, and in my community. Are you tracking? Track where you go online. KLZradio.com/accountable.
So how often should folks actually do a review of their estate plan? Is it something where, you know, you do it every year, you do it every 5 years? How often should you do that?
So the rule of thumb is every few years.
Okay.
And few is a very, very specifically defined term,
yeah,
meaning somewhere between 3 and 7. So it's every few years or when you have a major life change. You know, you have a new baby, you know, you get married, cool,
right.
You get divorced. Not as cool, but still a good time to look at it.
Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey, Wednesdays before Rush to Reason, right here on KLZ.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560, myself, Andy, Charlie, and Carinoids.
Yep.
Lots of them, by the way.
Carinoia. John, I think that this is probably going to be the biggest fallout from the entire pandemic. Okay, obviously the deaths, but let's face it, the deaths were almost all, the vast majority were hastened somewhat, because that's going to happen with any severe respiratory illness. It's going to hasten other deaths. But if we're looking at social output, the social impact, it's going to be Carinoia. People have now felt more empowered than ever before to take their fear and thrust it on others and judge others because of it.
Yep.
It is unbelievable.
Yep. You're right.
My wife was showing me a video of a girl who was in an elevator, and this lady was coming on, and the lady, I guess, didn't have her mask on well enough or whatever. I don't know, but the girl was screaming obscenities at her. This is a girl in her 20s, you know, screaming obscenities at her because she didn't have enough space to get around. She was terrified. You're killing me. You're killing me. You're doing this. You're doing that. John, young people who are at virtually, we got to say it again, virtually zero risk.
Right.
I mean, 0.000, whatever.
It's nothing.
Yeah. They are the meanest ones. They're the meanest carinoids. There are older carinoids too, but the meanest ones.
Not as many.
And it comes from people who basically want to say this. If you do not jump through the hoops that I want you to jump through to make me or people I advocate safer, then you don't love. That's you right. are selfish. Or
that's what they say.
Look, the guy we had on earlier, I'm sorry, but wasn't he basically parroting Polis saying you selfish bastards?
Yes. Yes.
You selfish bastards. Mm-hmm. To where we look and
by the
say,
way, I say that every time I go into a store. Put your mask on, you selfish bastard. I do. I
put
say
it
out
on?
Loud.
Put it on? Or
yeah, when I go into the store, because you know you got to wear the dumb thing to enter most, you know, most of the stores.
Put your mask
color
on, you selfish bastard.
Yeah, I just say I preach to myself what Polis is saying.
What percentage of the population is really at risk with this thing, right? What, about 2%, 3%, 4%?
I don't even know if it's 2% now, Andy. It's getting less and less every
day. Let me get generous and say 5%. I'm going to go crazy and say 1 in 20.
Oh,
I know
okay.
it's not that big.
No,
I know,
not even
I know.
Close.
But I'm going to get generous, okay? For one person to tell 19 people, adapt your lifestyle to make me safer, why isn't that person the selfish bastard?
They are.
I know I asked
opinion,
that in the last hour.
They are, in my opinion. They are.
Okay. And then it's gotten worse than that. That one person and their buddies, their advocates, are caranoids, judging and lashing out at people. And literally attacking them.
And by the way, the
this
majority...
This is something that's going
to
go on.
The majority of the people that you were talking about, back to your point earlier, are those that have virtually no risk in this.
Right. They're
virtually
simply,
no risk.
Right. They're simply caranoid. Mm-hmm. They're caranoid.
They have
they are
been,
empowered
they have
and they're paranoid.
They have drank the juice, and they're going to continue to reproduce said juice until I don't know when, Andy.
And you know what set this all up, John, before the virus even came along? This mentality of victimhood mm-hmm. being empowered in our society. We have spent the last couple few decades, really the past two decades, empowering victimhood. The more you are a victim, it used to be the more you achieve, you are admired. Now it is
not
the
anymore.
More you are a victim, you are admired.
That's right.
People want to, they don't want to hear what you've done. They want to hear what you've gone through.
Yeah. Yes. Which is, you know, we no longer celebrate success.
No, hardly at all. Unless you're a liberal athlete, we don't.
We celebrate your adversities.
Yes.
Which most don't even have.
Not really. Not in America. Not
okay, let me ask you this.
I mean, compared to a kid growing up in Ethiopia, no, John, yeah. we don't.
Is outside of the shutdowns, which I think is a huge adversity, outside of that,
right.
is there any adversity with COVID?
John, if we, let me take it a step further. If we did not have the masks and the distancing, and the shutdown, all this stuff going on mm-hmm. right now, I wouldn't know COVID exists.
Thank you.
I wouldn't know it was there.
That's what I was trying to get at.
I would
so really,
think,
there's no adversity at all, with the exception of what the government's done.
I would think a respiratory illness has come through. Now, I do agree with what our previous guest was saying. For the elderly, this presents a very pointed, mm-hmm. targeted attack.
Yes, it does.
Which is why what was
by
done
way,
what was done in New Jersey, Michigan, and
awful,
New York,
awful.
New York.
Yeah, about 10 states basically. 10 states roughly did that.
It was criminal.
Yeah, it was. And I agree with that.
Why
now,
the hell did they do that? Never mind. We'll talk about it later.
Because they don't care about people like they say they do.
I guess
that's
not.
Why. I also will say though, along those same lines, any of us that have elderly parents, I do. Love you mom and dad, by the way. They listen a lot. And you know, one of the first things I had to do with my mom for the first 2 or 3 weeks of COVID is, Mom, I'm going to take your keys away if you don't stay home until we figure out what's going on here. You know, you are high risk. Couldn't get her to stay home. Still can't get her to stay home. No vaccine, no nothing. She runs around like no tomorrow. No
but
big
deal.
But
that's her choice,
yes,
John.
Yes, it is.
If she wants to expose herself to this.
Yes.
But your mom is a really cool person.
Yes.
Okay, she doesn't go out and tell the world,
no.
adapt to me.
No, no, quite
or
the opposite.
Or you're not loving.
No, quite the opposite, actually. So again, I've been around and been influenced by elderly individuals that basically say, I'll handle myself. In fact, my dad said this specifically when COVID first started. Bud, that's what he calls me. Bud, I'll handle me. All of you handle you and we'll be fine. He turned 80 this last month. I'll handle me. You guys all handle you. We'll be good. And you know what? The majority of elderly people said just that.
Well, yeah. I mean, what's the catchphrase of my party of choice? I want to control my own life, not yours.
So
you do you, I'll do me. We're
so isn't
good.
It ironic that we've got my dad, who has turned 80 this year,
yep,
versus these 20-somethings running around all hysterical when somebody gets close to them that's not either distancing or doesn't have a mask on?
Let me ask you something. Do you think they actually enjoy the paranoia?
Yes.
The paranoia. The not just enjoy the fact that they can control others around them. I know they get off in control. But I mean, they almost seem to get a sick enjoyment of being afraid. In being afraid.
I don't know. That's a tough one to answer.
It is crazy, though, John. It's like they find comfort in their fear. If I'm not afraid of those around me, I wouldn't even know how to relate to them anymore. I mean, it almost seems that way.
You could be right. I don't know, Andy. I didn't really thought about it that way
before.
They
almost seem to have that mindset.
You could be right. Again, I've never really thought about it that way. I would have thought anybody that lives in fear would want to get out of that fear, although there's, you know, the battered wife syndrome and all sorts of things along those lines where people continue to subject themselves to abuse over and over and over again when they have a way out, but yet they keep doing it because that's all they know.
Stockholm syndrome, okay? You are, you know, you're in a situation where somebody has taken hostages, maybe yes. at a bank, they're yeah. knocking over, whatever. And the hostages grow to relate to and connect with their...
The perpetrators.
Their perpetrators. Yeah. Okay. We have been taken hostage by this virus and mm-hmm. the lockdowns in America for the last year. Are there people in America, and maybe a lot of them, who have grown to embrace those who took them hostage?
Yes.
Who've grown yes. to embrace?
Yes. By far, yes.
It's
yes.
like they could not even accept the virus being gone.
I feel sorry for them. I've said that to folks that have even texted me that think I'm wrong for my beliefs and how I look at this whole COVID thing and so on, and they, you know, tell me all the time that I don't really care for others because of my viewpoints and so on, which, by the way, is the farthest thing from the truth there is. But
how can they disagree with you, John? How can they disagree with you when they look out over college campuses with thousands of healthy young people wearing masks and distancing and having no risk? How can they disagree with John Rush, who has warned them of this mindset, when all they got to do is walk right down the street to any college campus and see the idiocy unchained? How?
I don't know, Andy.
Sorry to rant, but
no,
just...
because they've drank the Jim Jones Kool-Aid. Literally, they're part of the cult. They're part of the COVID cult. That's what I call it. We've been calling it that for a long time. That's what it is. It's a COVID cult.
It is.
And they love it.
Every set of numbers shows that their risk for those groups is almost non-existent.
Andy, I've shown on this show many, many times. You've been here. I've done it without you being here. That, and I've proven, because the dictionary, by the way, changed the definition. Used to be a pandemic was a high death rate.
Right.
That was a qualification for a pandemic. Well, they changed that, of course, because we don't have a high death rate in this case. And someone said, what about, you know, we heard Jordan Goodman even the first hour. What about the 500,000 lives lost? You know what? Around the world, we've lost, I'd have to look at the numbers again here, roughly a million plus people. Okay? Well, there's 7.5 billion people on the planet. Do the math.
Yeah, and here's the big problem. They leave out the word more. See, it wasn't 550,000 more
no.
lives than would have been lost in that time or shortly after that time.
Somebody also just texted me and said, fear equals an adrenaline rush. Well, I guess that's true.
I think they're right.
Yeah, they are. Great point, by the way. So, yeah, some of these people, I guess, do live on that, Andy. I don't get it. That's not me. I don't want to live in fear.
But the people like, and I love Jordan. I love it. But, you know, he loves throwing out that number.
Yeah.
He wants
to. A lot do.
He thirsts for that moment. This is how they feel. They want to put that number out because they want you to feel the fear. And it's like, guys, I'm walking around in a society filled with terrified, healthy people.
And I've never seen this in my entire life. Neither have you, Andy, where this many people that are healthy are this worried about dying.
Never. I've never seen
never
like
in my entire life. And you know what? All I can say is this is somewhat prophetic. It's scriptural. People have no faith. Even those that have faith, I guess, don't have much faith because they evidently don't know where they're going if they do die. And for those of you that would say, well, John, you just don't care about people. You know what? I would challenge any of you on that, knowing what I just went through this past week with my brother. I care a lot about people. I, you know, sat by my brother's bedside last week and literally watched him die. Ushered him into heaven, if you would. So do I know what death is all about? Absolutely I do. But I can tell you right now, my brother, even on his deathbed, even being immune compromised with radiation, chemo, all the things that he went through for 2.5 years, let me tell you one thing. He never was fearful to go out in public and didn't concern himself with COVID one iota. Not at all. Nor would he impose all of these draconian measures upon anyone else around him.
You know why, John? Because from everything you've told me about your brother knew what death was about, but he also knew life.
Yes, and he wanted people to live life. Thank you, Andy.
Exactly.
Yes, and that's what people right now are missing. And I feel sorry for them. I really do. So for anybody out there that would say, well, John, you just don't care about people. First of all, nothing could be farther from the truth. I do care about people. In fact, it bothers me when I see all these people wearing masks and distancing and being paranoid, as Andy just described, because I know they're not living life to the fullest when they do that. Not even close. And I really, my heart goes out to all of these businesses. Many, many, many businesses have been affected negatively by COVID. And, you know, COVID and other things that are going on. It's just ridiculous. And yeah, does my heart go out for those businesses and those individuals, the employees and such that work there? Absolutely it does. Do you think I want to see people on the unemployment line? Absolutely not. I want to see people working because guess what, folks? The unemployment line gives you no gratification in life. We were designed by God to work, to have purpose, to mean something to one another. And guess what? You don't get that on the unemployment line, do you?
No. We were designed not to need others to survive. Right. I don't want to wake up every day needing a check from the government. I want to wake up every day having others need me to show up and be great at a job. That is what we were born for, not this over here.
That's exactly right. All right, we'll come right back. We'll finish up. Novus Auto Glass folks, and man, do they care about you and your car and your windshield and anything else vision related? Yes, they do. I know that because I know all these guys personally. They're great individuals. They'll take care of you, your vehicle. They work with the insurance company, bill them directly, pay your deductible to them. They'll handle the rest. It's really that simple. Find a location near you. Go right to the website, rushtoreason.com. Click on the Novus link. It's right at the top. It's N-O-V-U-S. Again, the website, rushtoreason.com.
As the inventor of windshield repair, Novus Auto Glass saves you money by repairing chips and cracks whenever possible. With their patented glass repair technology, Novus can tackle tougher cracks than the competition. In some cases, they can repair cracks up to a foot long, but you have a much better chance at a repair by acting fast. Something as simple as going through a car wash could make your little chip or crack irreparable. For KLZ listeners only, Novus will send you a packet of protective windshield stickers for free. Little pieces of specially designed tape to cover any chips or cracks as soon as they appear, like a bandage for your glass. Request your free windshield patches now at klzradio.com/glass. No matter what sort of damage you're dealing with, there's never any risk with a Novus repair. Should your windshield repair fail, they will credit the cost toward a replacement. klzradio.com/glass.
Choose an agent that represents you, not the insurance company. Call Paul Lenigro and his team at Group Insurance Analysts, an independent insurance broker, for a complimentary analysis of your current insurance plans. 303-423-0162.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, and producer Ann sent me this. She says it's her favorite quote, and by the way, it's really good, Andy. "Everything you want is on the other side of fear," quote by George Adair. "Everything you want is on the other side of fear."
That is very well put.
Fear doesn't get us anywhere.
And yet we're worshiping it now.
Yep. And again, what really, I think, bothers me the most about all of this are the Christians that have bought into all this nonsense.
Oh, yeah.
Literally, I get somebody that's not a Christian, that has no faith, they don't know where they're going to go when they die. I get some of the fear factor there. I do. Okay, I understand.
Sure.
You have no faith, you don't know what the other side holds. I understand that. But those of you that are supposedly, quote-unquote, Christians, that supposedly know what happens after death, for those of you that claim to be that, and yet have this huge fear factor over COVID, I got to ask the question, why? Where's your faith?
Right.
Literally, where's your faith? I just explained to you all, you know, brother who was as immunocompromised as you're going to get, going through all the things he went through in the last 2.5 years, and never once worried about going out in public or traveling or getting on an airplane or doing the things that he did while he was battling cancer for 2.5 years, a year of that through COVID.
He knows what's coming. He knew where he was going, and he's going to welcome you there one day.
He did not want to impose any of his feelings upon everybody else around him and make them do something that he wouldn't do.
Because he loves them.
Yes.
Love God, love others. Remember, if you love others, and you know, we were talking about this at one of the breaks, John. If you were in a vulnerable group, immune deficient, very elderly and so forth, and I asked you, John, could you go to the church and guilt trip those around you to adapt their lifestyles to you? You wouldn't even think of it. And it's not just because, well, you're against that, but it's also because you love people. It's because you love people that you wouldn't do that.
No more, Andy. Maybe this isn't the right comparison, but you know, most of you listening know that years ago I lost a lot of weight, and you know, did it on my own fruition. I didn't do it because a doctor said so. Or just woke up one day, and it was after Christmas in 2009, the Christmas of 2009. I woke up day after Christmas, and I said, "You know what? There's too many X's on these shirts and clothing. I got to do something about that." No doctor said to do it. It was just me saying, I need to do something about this. So I lost a lot of weight, learned how to eat correctly, things we talk about tomorrow on Wellness Wednesday. Those are things I do practice and so on, and still believe, you know, heavily in that, eating the right things, staying healthy. And by the way, I think it's helped me a lot when it comes to all this COVID stuff, keeping your immune system up, eating right, doing the right things, all of that. Okay, so my point is this, though, Andy. While going through that transition and losing weight and learning how to eat correctly and so on, not one time did I ever force my eating habits and what I felt about that on anyone else, especially those I went to church with. In other words, I wouldn't go through the potluck line at church, which I hate potlucks, but going through the potluck line, would I have ever said or guilted anybody into have brought, you know, bringing something or have made something or have partaking of something that I wouldn't because I was trying to lose weight?
You know, it's also like the vegetarian who wants everybody around them
to be a vegetarian.
To be a vegetarian so that they feel more comfortable. And it's like, look, you've made a choice with your life.
Right. More power to you. God
bless you. I honor that choice. You be you, I be me. It comes back to.
And by the way, if you want to be a vegetarian, more power. I got nothing against you. Just don't force it on me.
Yeah.
Just like I, who decided to lose 100 pounds, didn't force that decision on those that are around me.
No.
Right? Is that a good comparison?
Yeah. You people have to eat healthy because otherwise, you know, it's just too tempting for me. It's dangerous. Ooh. It's dangerous for me to have too many of these donuts around. It's dangerous for me to be exposed to too much of this stuff. And it's like, why are you trying to restrict everybody else for your safety?
Right. And I hope that explanation I just gave is comparable, because when I was thinking about all of that a moment ago, I just thought, you know, I could have easily, because you've seen people do that, the vegans, like you just mentioned a moment ago. You've seen people even on diet. Oh, you shouldn't be eating that. Well, who says who? That's your choice, not mine.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It is. It's your choice, not mine.
Judging everybody around you.
Folks, that doesn't get you anywhere. And by the way, that's not scriptural.
No, it isn't. And by the way, and folks, we're not saying you should never tell people, hey, this is healthier for you, this is better for you, advise, offer, and so forth. But when you tell people you're not loving, you're selfish, you're
I have time to explain this. Let me give you one caveat to that.
Close this out.
You only get to do what you just said once you have a relationship and permission to say that to that person. Otherwise, you have no business ever saying that.
Yeah, you really need to earn that.
Correct? You have to earn the right to tell that other person what they should or shouldn't eat.
Because in relationship, they need to have already seen in you that you care about them, you value them, that you're not just trying to push your agenda on others.
Having this agenda pushed, like you just said, folks, that's not loving anyone.
No.
That's pushing your agenda on someone else and taking away their choice. Doesn't work that way, folks.
No.
They're less loving than I.
There is nothing loving in paranoia.
Nope. Exactly right. Extreme Auto Repair, folks. Love your car. That's what I'll say is love your car. Keep it running well. And I mean that sincerely. Keep that car running well. You'll save money. It'll last longer. You'll have less expense. And most of all, you'll have the freedom to go to and fro without having to worry about your car breaking down. So go to Extreme Auto Repair, KLZradio.com, or call direct 303-841-1071.
Go with your gut. You know when an estimate from a mechanic doesn't feel right. Maybe they're telling you to fix a bunch of stuff you didn't even know was broken. Maybe their prices seem surprisingly high. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will give you a second opinion for free, so you know what's reasonable and what's not. They can typically beat the prices of their competitors, but they won't hold it against you if you decide to go back to the first guy. Either way, you have the peace of mind. The team at Extreme Auto Repair wants to keep you safe and keep your vehicle on the road longer, but they never want to pressure you into repairs that you don't really need. So with every estimate, the team at Extreme Auto Repair will give you a priority list showing you all of your recommended maintenance items in order from the most to least important. That way, you decide what you want to take care of now and what can wait until later. Free second opinions at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, closing things out. Andy, you just said something during the break that I think we need to repeat, which is liberals like to do what?
The entire essence of liberalism is that you want to control other people's lives, not your own. You want to push your way into their reality, into their life. You don't feel purpose unless you are making others live the way you want them to live.
And by the way, those of you that maybe don't know this, and there's some Christians probably that should hear this as well, that's not Christ-like.
No, it's Bible, the
Bible thumping and shoving something down someone's throat is not Christ-like because he never did that.
No, there is
He never forced his decisions and who he was on anyone.
Jesus and the apostles never tried to force non-Christians to live like Christians. There is no Christian jihad.
Doesn't work that way, folks. And yet there's COVID jihad. Ooh, there's
through
a
guilt.
Name. COVID jihad.
But we only do it through guilt, not demands.
All right, we'll be back tomorrow, folks. As I just said a moment ago, Wellness Wednesday's coming up tomorrow. We've got a great lineup for you. And we're going to talk tomorrow. I've got a machine at home I'm going to test out tonight called Milkmaid, where you can actually make milk from nuts. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. Have a great evening. If you missed the first hour, catch it next. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.